Hello, and welcome to Southern Middle Tennessee Today on WKOM and WKRM Radio. Your hometown news broadcasting from the Debbie Matthews Nashville Realty Newsroom in Columbia, Tennessee. I'm your host, Tom Price. Today is Monday, April 29th, and we start with local news. The Maury County Fire Department is honored to announce that 10 heroic first responders have been awarded the 2024 Star of Life Award in the region. This award recognizes their exceptional response to a cardiac arrest call in July of 2023. The actions of this team saved the life of a Maury County resident who continues to enjoy life due to their response. They will be further celebrated at the annual Children's Emergency Care Alliance of Tennessee Star of Life Awards ceremony on May 2nd. The Star of Life team shared, "The recipients of these awards have been selected through a rigorous nomination and evaluation process by a committee comprised of EMS leaders and community representatives. Congratulations to Savannah Madison, Sydney McRae, Blake Gay, Chris Allen, Tim Turner, Luke Smith and Fabian Oden of the Maury County Fire Department, and to Ashlyn James, Jamie Roan, and William Miles of the Maury Regional Emergency Medical Services. Columbia State Community College's Office of Workforce and Continuing Education recently hosted a reception for the inaugural cohort of its Leadership for Operational Excellence program. The program benefits new and emerging leaders by helping them develop the necessary skills and a toolkit of resources to help them excel as they move and grow in their leadership roles. Upon joining Columbia State nearly 5 years ago, it became apparent through engagement with local businesses that a need existed for enhanced leadership and soft skills, said Melody Murphy, Columbia State Workforce and Continuing Education Director. While we have consistently offered customized leadership training to our valued business partners, we recognize a growing demand for a more comprehensive leadership development initiative. Luckily, Dr. Deb McFarlane Enright was available to help us make that a reality as lead facilitator of this program, she said. The Leadership for Operational Excellence program nurtures success and provides participants with the skills and resources for them to excel as leaders within their organizations. Topics covered include leadership styles, generations and teams, employment engagement and productivity, communication and leading your team, business finance and budgets, presentation skills, and networking, as well as delivering outcomes and managing change. Leadership for Operational Excellence was designed to provide value above the traditional leadership programs, said Dr. Daryl Lampley, Columbia State Vice President of the Williamson Campus and External Services. Melody and Dr. Enright had a shared vision for a skills-based approach that would serve the graduates throughout their careers. As a result, the end product is comparable to a mini MBA, he said. The first cohort included participants Priya Darshini Barkakati, Kieran Kanth Reddy Bolampali, Barry Choicer, Sai Sumanthandara, Daniel Garrett, Sandeep Wajapay, Cora Hageman, Alan McNeese, Terrence Taylor, and Arshel Walk. Participant Terrence Taylor spoke at the reception about his experience in the program. "This leadership course has been transformative for me, pushing me out of my comfort zone and enabling me to grow both personally and professionally," Taylor said. "I've learned the importance of listening, communication, and taking proactive steps to address challenges. By embracing these principles, I've been able to make a positive impact in my workplace and contribute to meaningful change," he said. "Leadership isn't just about titles. It's about the choices we make and the impact we have on others," Murphy said. "Let us strive to cultivate a culture of true leadership that inspires, empowers, and fosters growth for all," she said. Registration for the fall cohort of the Leadership for Operational Excellence program is now open. You can access that information by visiting www.campusce.net/Columbia State. For more information on the Columbia State Office of Workforce and Continuing Education, visit www.columbiastate.edu/workforce. On Friday, the Potts Biffle Farm was honored as this year's Century Farm at the annual Farm City Breakfast, sponsored by the Maury County Chamber and Economic Alliance. WKOM WKRM's Delk Kennedy attended the event and spoke to Melissa Potts about her family farm.
This is Delk Kennedy, Front Porch Radio. Today, Friday, this morning, I am at the Farm City Breakfast put on by the Maury County Chamber of Commerce and Alliance. This year, the Chamber and Alliance honored the Potts Biffle Farm at Hampshire, Tennessee, as a century farm here in Maury County. I'm speaking with Melissa Potts. Good morning, Melissa. How does it feel to be so honored?
Oh, it's so exciting. It's absolutely exciting, and it is very humbling as well.
Now, the Potts Biffle Farm has been in your family since 1859, and you still live there.
We still live there. Hope I can live there until the undertaker comes. That's where I want to stay.
Tell me a little bit about the farm.
Right now, 125 acres is part of the original Biffle Farm. And my husband and I added 256 to that back in 1993. So we've got 380-ish acres with beef cattle, 34 goats, 2 donkeys, and this year, for the first time that we know of in the farm's history, we're going to try a few acres of row crops.
Oh, wow. And many, many people in this county knew your stepfather, Mr. Ed Biffle. Tell me a little bit about him.
Mr. Ed was a confirmed bachelor. He married my mom when he was 74 years old, actually. My dad had passed away several years earlier, and Mr. Ed and mother became great buddies, and they enjoyed a lot of the same things. And finally, he decided at the ripe old age of 74 to get married.
That is amazing. Okay, again, Delk Kennedy, Front Porch Radio. I'm with Melissa Potts. We're at the Maury Chamber and Alliance Farm City Breakfast this morning. The Potts Biffle Farm has been named the Century Farm for Maury County for this year. It's been a magnificent program and a magnificent morning. Again, Melissa Potts, congratulations.
Thank you so much, Delk.
Thank you.
Some costly change orders totaling approximately $475,000 were discussed during the Spring Hill Board of Mayor and Aldermen's meeting last week. One of the proposals discussed was in relation to authorizing a task order extension for a water and sewer capacity study. The largest source of the change is that we were going through the process on integrating the three main data sets, Assistant City Administrator Dan Allen said. There were a number of inconsistencies, and it took a significant amount of time to clean that up. By the time we realized that that's what they were actually doing, they had already burned a substantial amount of budget, he said. He said that he thought the overrun was about $200,000. The change order proposal was for $95,000, with the city and company each eating half of it, Allen said. Next was a resolution to authorize a task order for design modifications and bidding services to the wastewater treatment plant's proposed headworks and equalization basin. In reviewing the construction documents that were prepared, it is clear that some staff made a decision to change location of the EQ basin future oxidation ditch without consulting with senior staff or the board, and as a result, the plans were carried forward to 90% completion with that facility in the wrong location, Allen said. So this task order is a change order to correct all the plans and the process piping and everything else to put it back where it was supposed to be, which is on top of the public works facility, he said. He said the persons responsible for these actions are no longer employed with the city. To that same end, this was done without any authorization, City Administrator Pam Kasky said. I was informed about it 3 months after I got here when all the work was already done and there was nothing to do but just say stop, she said. When asked about the price tag for the change order, Allen said about $380,000, to which the board agreed for the order to be put into the form of a resolution. The board also discussed a resolution to adopt the Spring Hill Water and Sewer Models and Capacity Studies final report. You may not fully understand it, but it is a tremendous tool, Allen said, and very few cities have something like this. So on behalf of the utilities team, we are happy to present this and hope it will be used regularly to help the city engage in good, sound, smart growth practices going forward, he said. Allen summarized the gravity interceptor concept that would serve the east side of I-65. We've developed a concept that doesn't require pump stations. It's all gravity flow, he said. It was then discussed that the board was ready for the design phase of the project. I believe that staff's position is that we have enough economic development opportunities that are on the near horizon that we need to be ready to go so that the lack of sewer isn't an impediment to the opportunities that are becoming available when the interchange opens on this side, Caskey said. We've invested the money to build that infrastructure. We might as well take advantage of it. And to that end, that we need to be prepared to enter into some sort of public-private partnership to accomplish that, she said. The water and sewer rate adjustment package was also briefly discussed, with Allen informing the board that links were provided to ordinances from 2019 for those increases. The Maury County Commission approved last week in their meeting the sale of 6.5 acres for approximately $2.95 million by Maury Regional Medical Center to eventually build a hotel. The sale of the property, which would be located on Trotwood Avenue, was originally presented to the county's Health and Environment Committee back on April 1st. Pursuant to the Private Acts of 1996, the commission must approve by a two-thirds vote any sale or disposition of real estate by Maury Regional that exceeds $1 million. Commissioners were largely in favor of the sale of the property, though some expressed concerns over parking, traffic, and foundation money that has been put into the retreat, a hospitality house that provides daytime accommodations for cancer patients. This has been a very thoughtful process on the part of the hospital, said Dr. Martin Chaney, CEO of Maury Regional. It was the parking concern and the retreat that were somewhat of the questions and holdups, he said. Chaney added, a phased approach will be used for the parking growth plan. This is a total revamp of our parking in front of Maury Regional that will gain an additional 189 parking spaces, he said. We're completely reorienting the parking spots so that we will get a lot better access, including a road that will run all the way in front of all of our facilities to guide access to each of our buildings in a controlled way, yet allow parking to be expanded. Chaney said the position of the parking deck, ambulatory care, and medical building would prevent reasonable access from a road standpoint from the main campus onto the property. To use the property for parking would mean we would either have to create a service road along Trotwood or any parking would have to go out on Trotwood Avenue to access into this property, he said, adding that the James Campbell Trotwood parking lot would bring 114 spaces. Additional spaces would include a row of parking by urgent care along Trotwood, which would gain 28 spaces. When speaking about the retreat, which the hospital has owned since 1982, Dr. Chaney said several contingency plans are in the works, including building a new retreat with foundation support. The second option would include allowing patients to stay in the new hotel. The interim will be the challenge, Dr. Chaney said. We are looking to find an alternate place if the property sells and the hotel is being built. Commissioner Ray Jeter expressed his support for the proposed hotel, stating the opportunity for additional revenue to be brought back into the county. That's the reason I support this measure, and I appreciate the hospital doing this, Jeter said. It doesn't benefit them in any way to own this property. Commissioner Connie Green said she was concerned over the increase in traffic. If you're going to have a hotel, you're going to have laundry services, a pool, and a restaurant, Green said. You're going to have semi-trucks coming in and out of that property, plus the guests, she said. Dr. Chaney said part of the hospital's plan is to improve ingress and egress of the campus. We're doing what we can on our side of the fence, so to speak, to improve the traffic on Trotwood, he said, stating that there will be a single entrance into the campus. The hospital also plans on applying for a stoplight at the Blythewood intersection, which Dr. Chaney said would be contingent across the street where the new entrance will be. We do have a plan to address the traffic in front of the medical center, he said. I don't necessarily have the traffic plan if it becomes a hotel, but I have seen some options there, he said. Commissioner Gary Stovall stated his support of the project. People of Maury County, traffic is already here, so we don't need to be worrying about it, he said. The commission ultimately passed the resolution in a 19-1 vote. Following TriStar Health's announcement last week proposing a $250 million full-service acute care hospital in Spring Hill, a grassroots group has formed to support its efforts. Spring Hill Tomorrow, a new initiative of Maury Tomorrow, has announced its new leaders, who are supporting greater healthcare access in Spring Hill. Former Spring Hill Mayor Rick Graham and Spring Hill Chamber Board Chair Jamie Davis were named to serve as the group's co-chairs. TriStar will host an informational community meeting from 5 to 7 p.m. Tuesday, May 14th at Community Baptist Church, located at 1001 Parkway Drive. TriStar Health announced last week plans to build a full-service acute care hospital in Spring Hill. The healthcare provider is pursuing a certificate of need with the Tennessee Health Facilities Commission. If approved, the $250 million community hospital would be built on the same site as the existing TriStar Spring Hill ER. The proposed hospital in Spring Hill would offer a wide range of services, including 68 beds, intensive care unit, a labor and delivery unit, a neonatal intensive care unit, four operating rooms, cardiac catheterization services, and imaging services, including MRI. We are proud to have served thousands of patients in Spring Hill and surrounding communities over the past 10 years with convenient emergency care, said Mitch Edgeworth, president of HCA Healthcare TriStar Division, in a previous press release. As Spring Hill's population continues to grow, it is time for the community to have access to essential healthcare services at a full-service hospital closer to where they live, work, and play. Spring Hill's population increased from just under 9,000 residents in 2000 to more than 50,000 in 2020, according to the U.S. Census. In the next 5 years, the population is expected to continue to grow to around 64,000 residents, according to the Tennessee Comptroller of the Treasury. Currently, Spring Hill is Tennessee's largest city without a hospital. "I fully support a full-service Spring Hill hospital," said Spring Hill Mayor Jim Hageman. "Our city needs access to care, and the economic impact of the proposed hospital in the first 5 years of operation will result in nearly $870 million and more than 3,000 new jobs to Spring Hill. This is the right move at the right time for our city," he said. Co-chairs of Spring Hill Tomorrow, Davis and Graham, voiced support for the project. "In 2006, our city asked TriStar Health to solve our lack of comprehensive health care due to our rapid growth," Graham said in a press release. "They answered our call then, but our efforts were blocked. It's now 2024, and we've tripled our number of community members since then. We need this hospital, and we need it now. At what point will we be able to earn our own care?" he asked. "As individuals throughout the country increasingly look to make Spring Hill their home, the need for a hospital in the city has never been more critical," a Spring Hill Tomorrow press release states. "There are more than 15,000 children in Spring Hill, which is 25% of our city's population," Davis said. "This is an opportunity for us to take care of our children's health care needs without leaving Spring Hill," she said. For more information about the proposed hospital or to sign a letter of support, you can visit www.TriStarSpringHillHospital.com. And now your hometown memorials, sponsored by Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home. Sandra Jean Kinavy McGregor, 59. Died Wednesday, April 24th at her residence. No services are scheduled at this time. Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home are assisting the family with arrangements. Willie Oscar Sonny Thomas Jr., 83, a resident of Columbia, died Thursday, April 25th. Funeral services will be conducted on Tuesday, April 30th at 1 p.m. at Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home. Burial will follow in Polk Memorial Gardens with a Masonic service provided by the Columbia Lodge No. 31. The family will visit with friends on Tuesday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home. Mrs. Lori Watson Moss, 79, a resident of Columbia, died Friday at Murray Regional Medical Center. Graveside services for Mrs. Moss will be conducted on Wednesday, May 1st at 2:30 p.m. at Rose Hill Cemetery. The family will visit with friends on Wednesday from 12 to 2 p.m. at Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home. Hometown Memorials is sponsored by Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home, serving with dignity and consideration for over 150 years.
As years go by, people may tend to forget just what a funeral is really all about. At Oaks and Nichols, we believe it's first and always a special remembrance of someone you love. We start by listening to your needs and desires. If you're unsure, we can help, gently, professionally. At Oaks and Nichols Funeral Directors, we haven't lost sight of why we're here, to serve Maury County families in the ways they prefer, and why Matt and Susie Sowell believe the way to honor tradition is with especially personal service.
We believe your traditions, your customs, your rites of passage are very important, but we also believe in taking care of your personal wishes as well.
At Oaks and Nichols, we try to do more than just the expected things, so the service you receive honors your heritage and is uniquely yours. And we invite you to experience the difference.
Oaks and Nichols Funeral Directors, 320 West 7th Street in Columbia. Since 1856, people you can rely on.
For your southern Middle Tennessee weather, we will have partly cloudy skies today, becoming more cloudy as the day progresses. A stray shower or thunderstorm is possible. The high will be near 80 degrees with winds out of the south at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, we can expect thunderstorms and a low of 62. The chance of overnight rain, 90%, with locally heavy rain possible. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll cover state and national news that affect you. You're listening to Southern Middle Tennessee Today.
This is Debbie Matthews with the Nashville Realty Group, and if you've been paying attention, you know the housing market has been tough, but rates are beginning to thaw. So if you're thinking about selling, the time to jump in is getting better every day. But if you're thinking about buying, and those interest rates are still a little bit too high, a good agent knows how to negotiate interest rate buy-downs, and I'm a good agent. So call me, Debbie Matthews with Nashville Realty Group, 615-476-3224.
Family first. My dad used to tell us that all the time. But family first wasn't just something he'd say to us. It was how he lived every day of his life. And it's how I try to live mine too.
At Shelter Insurance, our agents are dedicated to helping provide personalized auto, home, and life protection that puts your family first.
For auto, home, life, or business insurance, see Shelter Agent Tommy Hyde Jr. at 388-2009.
Are you thinking about a new fence? Maybe you need a pole barn. Then you should give Sands Fence Company a call. That's 931-309-1644. Will Sands has built his business based on the principles of honesty, quality, and integrity. Sands Fence Company has been in business for over 20 years, providing the community with farm, residential, and commercial fencing, as well as pole barns and buildings. Call today for a free estimate. Sands Fence Company, 931-309-1644. 931-309-1644.
For 40 years, the Jewelers Bench has worked hard for their customers and provided the highest quality jewelry at the best price. They keep going back. Recent renovations have allowed them to expand their inventory. More high quality jewelry, custom vintage and estate pieces, and professional jewelry and watch repairs. They also buy gold. The Jewelers Bench, still here, still great service. 808 Trotwood Avenue, Columbia.
This is Trey Adcock with Dixie Equipment Sales and Rental. We sell ASV and Wacker Neuson equipment. We also rent a wide variety of compact equipment in the Middle Tennessee area. Come see us. We are located in Columbia, Tennessee at 200 East 16th Street. You can call us at 615-969-0118 or visit our website at www.dixiediesel.com. We have been in business for over 42 years and we would love to help you turn your project into reality.
We all live very busy lives. Sometimes we just need a break. Wouldn't it be nice to have an extra pair of hands to help out? Let me introduce you to New Dawn Cleaning Service. No job is too big or too small because they do it all, from residential to commercial. They offer standard cleaning, construction cleaning, carpet shampooing, and window cleaning. Whether you are looking for a one-time service or regular scheduled cleaning plan, New Dawn is ready to help. With years of experience, you can relax, kick back, and call New Dawn Cleaning Service at 615-977-6901.
This is Bob Kessling with Pat Ryan. It's a beautiful day for digging. The backhoe operator has the engine running and is moving into position. He's heading for the ground. He's in there. Wait, there's a flag on the play. Let's get out of the field for the call from our official.
Illegal procedure on the digging team.
Oh, that penalty could cause a costly accident.
That's right, Bob. He needs to call before he digs. There's underground utility lines that could be hiding just below the surface. Water, sewer, electrical, communication lines, and even natural gas.
Avoid a penalty by first calling 811 to have any underground public utility lines located and marked with flags or paint.
It's free, it's easy, and it's the law.
For more tips, visit pipesafety.org. This message brought to you by the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters and the Tennessee Gas Association, funded in part by a grant from the Underground Utility Damage Enforcement Board.
We Welcome back to Southern Middle Tennessee Today on WKOM 101.7 and WKRM 103.7, your hometown source for news and information. I'm Tom Price. And now news from around the state. The Tennessee governor has unchecked authority to name a state education commissioner who doesn't have to be certified to teach, according to an attorney general's opinion published last week in response to queries regarding embattled education commissioner Lizette Reynolds. In an opinion published on Tuesday, Attorney General Jonathan Scrimeti outlines his legal opinion for why the law stating commissioners be, quote, qualified to teach in the school of the highest standing over which the commissioner has authority, unquote, does not mean the Tennessee Education Commissioner has to be certified to teach with a teaching license. In the 10-page opinion, Scrimeti points to laws established in 1919 and 1925. Scrimeti argues the requirement imposes a general standing that establishes the education, experience, and strength of character necessary to teach, rather than a specific legal certification. Scrimeti notes several times that early 20th century General Assemblies chose to give the governor unchecked power to appoint commissioners without legislative approval, giving the governor power to unilaterally judge who had the attainments necessary to lead the state's Department of Education. Representative Caleb Hemmer, a Democrat from Nashville, requested the formal opinion from Scrimeti earlier this year as reports emerged that Reynolds may not meet qualifications for the job. Democrats have called for her resignation. According to Tennessee state code, the education commissioner shall have experience in school administration and be qualified to teach at a high school level. Reynolds, who has experience in school choice nonprofits and the Texas Education Department, does not appear to have ever taught in a classroom as a teacher or served in local K-12 administration. In a statement, Democratic Caucus Chair John Ray Clemens said Scrimeti's opinion attempts to tap dance around the clear and plain language of a century-old statute in an attempt to protect the governor's clearly unqualified appointee who is being paid over $255,000 a year. The General Assembly likely lacks any viable route to removing the Commissioner of Education from office through litigation. Let's take one last break. When we come back, we'll cover the final story of the day. You're listening to Southern Middle Tennessee Today.
Turner and Osborne Tire Company, 1016 South Main Street in Columbia. Give them a call at 931-388-6822. They've been doing business since 1947 and in their current location since 1964. They provide the best tire and mechanical work at some of the best prices in Middle Tennessee. Hey, they're official Michelin and Goodyear dealers, and they've got all kinds of brands as well. Stop by and see Walker Vining and his professional staff or check them out online at turnerandosborne.com. That's turnerandosborne.com.
Looking for a physician? Choosing a healthcare provider for your family is one of the most important decisions you will make. Murray Regional Medical Group delivers primary care for individuals of all ages from newborns to adults and has an array of specialists ranging from endocrinologists to urologists. With locations in Murray, Lewis, Marshall, and Wayne counties, our experienced team can provide you with quality care close to home. For more information, visit MurrayRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Murray Regional Medical Group, your health is our primary care.
Have you ever wondered if your insurance needs can be personalized? This is Hunter Carey. Our team specializes in planning your insurance needs to get you the best possible solution. State Farm is the largest home and auto insurer in the country. I love bringing that to my hometown. Born and raised in Columbia, I'm grateful for our close community ties. We offer help with home, auto, and life insurance for everyone in our community. Our office is located at 909 South Garden Street across from the fire station. We're also online at huntercarey.com. That's Hunter, C-A-R-Y.com.
Welcome back to Southern Middle Tennessee Today, and now our final story. The Williamson County Parks and Recreation Department proudly presents the 38th Annual Tennessee Renaissance Festival from May 4th through the 27th. Travel back to 16th century England, where the village of Covington Glen comes alive with the bustle of a Renaissance marketplace. Festival hours are 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. every Saturday and Sunday in May and on Memorial Day. Daily general admission tickets start at $25 for adults, $5 for children ages 3 to 12, and children ages 2 and younger are admitted for free. The festival is held at Castle Park, located at 2135 Newcastle Road in Arrington, Tennessee. For detailed information on this year's festival, you can visit www.tnrenfest.com. That's all for this edition of Southern Middle Tennessee Today. I'm Kennedy Broadcasting, WKOM, WKRM Radio. I'll be back tomorrow to update you with the latest news. I'm Tom Price. Thanks for listening. Be safe. And have a great day.